Got this thing. There we go. Good deal. Well, thank you, Brother Bill, and the choir. That was amazing. I always love hearing, especially the hymn that we sang a little earlier, Count Your Many Blessings. I haven't heard that one in a while, and I think that is very appropriate for this Sunday before Thanksgiving. Before we get going too strong this morning, let me just take a moment to thank the church for all that you have done. Many of you have prayed for us as we've been in transition to this house, and many people came out and helped us move over the weekend. There were people that provided food because everything was just, you know, in just up in the air, and other people kept Christian on Friday and Saturday as we were moving, and so that he wouldn't be in the way. And so I just want to take a moment and thank everyone for your prayers and your support for us as we've made this transition. And we, during this Thanksgiving season, one of the things that we are most thankful for is our church family. And so so just know that's just from our heart there. But as you as we get ready to study God's Word, if you would, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 17 this morning, and we're gonna read a passage here, and we're gonna see an account of how God has moved in a very very big way in the lives of 10 men, and then we're gonna see one that really stands out to us this morning. And so we're gonna read that together, Luke chapter 17, and we are gonna start in verse 11. Says, while they were traveling to Jerusalem, he, and that's talking about Jesus, by the way, he passed between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, 10 men with a serious skin disease met him. And they stood at a distance and raised their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he told them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And while they were going, they were healed. But one of them, seeing that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice gave glory to God, and he fell down at his feet, thanking him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus said, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Didn't any return to give glory to God except for this foreigner? And he told him, get up and go on your way, for your faith has made you well. Let's pray. Father, we praise you for your word, and we thank you for this account. Father, I don't like saying story, Father, because this is not just a story. This is something that really happened. And Father, I just pray that you would speak to us through this morning in your name. Amen. Well, as we look at this passage, I think it would be helpful for us to understand some things that these 10 men all had in common. Yes, 10 were healed and only one thanked Jesus, and we'll get to that part here in a little bit. But I do think that it would be beneficial for us to look at some common characteristics of these 10 men, because they were all in the same life situation. They all were under really very similar circumstances. And so we're going to look at a few things. The first thing that we see here that they had in common is a deadly disease. If you look in verse 12, it says 10 men with a very serious skin disease. Now, some of your translations may say leprosy. And the reason why that is because the word there that's used for that's translated as skin disease literally means leprosy. I mean, that is where we get the term leprosy from. Now it's hard to determine for us now as we look back and we look at the language whether or not these men really had leprosy, or maybe they had some sort of skin disease that people couldn't tell the difference between that and leprosy. But what we know is the Jewish law at the time, they had certain ceremonial laws, and if someone came down with an incurable skin disease like that, the priest would declare them to be unclean. And essentially, at that moment, they were essentially diagnosed with a critical illness, and it was assumed by the priest, and it was assumed by those people, and it was assumed by their family that these people most likely had leprosy. And if they had leprosy, that meant they were going to die. And now, it didn't just mean that they were going to die like a quick death. They were going to die probably a very slow death. Leprosy was a very horrible disease that we can't even fathom today. It's almost non-existent in the United States. We still see it in third world countries, out in the jungles and places like that. But leprosy is a disease that if you actually have leprosy, I mean, your skin like rots off of your body. It is a horrendous disease to have, and eventually, because of the exposure to the air and germs, because your skin begins to rot away at certain points, whether it be your nose or your ears or your eyelids or whatever, I mean, your fingers, whatever it would be, you eventually will get an infection and you eventually will die. It's a terrible disease, and these guys, they were diagnosed with this skin disease. And what that meant, folks, is it didn't just mean that they were sick, but if you had leprosy, if you were diagnosed with this skin disease, not only was it assumed that you were going to die, but it was also you were also immediately quarantined. You were sent off. You were sent away. No longer could these men kiss their children on the forehead. No longer could these men hold the hand of their wives, and no longer would they be allowed to, if they had a Thanksgiving dinner at that point in time, no longer would they have been able to participate in a Thanksgiving celebration like many of us will participate in this week. They had a deadly disease, and it changed everything for them. And they were facing something that was much, much bigger than they were. It was one of those life crisis situations where you think, what am I going to do? That's where these guys were going through. I don't know if you've ever faced one of those situations. If you haven't, you probably will. I've heard in the past, it's always stuck with me, that all of us in life are in one of three spots. We're either right in the middle of a storm or a life crisis, or maybe we just got out of a storm and we just moved through it. Or maybe we're just about to go into a storm. But at some point, all of us, if we haven't already, are going to face those things that are bigger than us. Another thing that that reminds me of is the fact that when we think about these guys having a physical disease, although you and I maybe never have a physical ailment this bad, but the Bible tells us that we all have a spiritual disease. The spiritual disease that we have is sin. The Bible says that all have sinned, all men. And no matter who you are, if you've been born on this earth, if you are human, then you have the spiritual disease of sin. And the result of sin, the Bible says, is death. Not just physical death, but spiritual death. So we see that these guys had a deadly disease. But we also see that they had a desire to live. As you look at the end of verse 12 and end of verse 13, that says that these men with a skin disease, they went and they met Jesus when he came into town. They met Jesus. They went to purposely have a conversation with Jesus, to have an encounter with Jesus. I don't know if they arranged a meeting. I don't know if they figured they knew where he was coming through town and they just went to intercept him. But you know that they had a desire to live because they went to find Jesus, because undoubtedly they had heard about Jesus. Undoubtedly they had heard about how he had raised the dead. Undoubtedly they had heard how he had healed the blind and healed the sick. Undoubtedly they had heard about Jesus being the Son of God and having all this power and this ability. And so they had this desire to live. They were desperate to live. And they went to find Jesus. And the Bible says they stood at a distance. And here's another thing that's significant about that. As a person with leprosy or a skin disease, they were not allowed to be out in public. They were not allowed to go out in crowds of people. They weren't even allowed to be around their own family unless their family members were already sick with the disease, okay? And so this was a big deal. They got out and they went and they met Jesus. And just so you know, as a person with this kind of skin disease is walking through town, there would have been people saying, "Leper, everybody get away. There's a leper, unclean, unclean." And it was just humiliating to walk through town or to walk in public or to be outside. In fact, these people were expected themselves to warn people as they walked, "Unclean, hey, I'm diseased, I'm dirty, don't get around me." They were required to do that. And just in case they didn't, maybe if they shouted their voices out and they couldn't really say it anymore, or maybe someone was around that didn't recognize them, they had these little bells on their garments as they walked through town. As they walked around, these little bells would jingle and ding, and people would know, in case someone hasn't declared it and screamed it already, well, we better stay away from those people. And I imagine that probably there were some folks there that were pretty easy to deal with about it, but I bet you there were also some people in town that probably, when these men would get out and get about and get around, there were probably those people that said, "What are you doing? Who do you think you are getting out in public like this? You're going to get me sick. You're going to get someone else sick. I mean, what are you thinking? Get away from me. You're dirty. You're unclean. I don't want you around." You see, it wasn't just like they just said, "Well, you know, we just had this little thing going on. We'll just go find Jesus and he'll just heal us." No. They had this deadly disease, and it was a physical disease, but it was a social disease too. And it was tough for them, but they had a desire to live. They went out and they met Jesus. They stood at a distance. They were desperate to find a way. They were desperate to fight. They were desperate to hold their children and hug their wives. They didn't want to die. They came to Jesus. You know, if they didn't want to live, they would have had a completely different attitude. They probably just wouldn't even have gotten out of the house. Yeah, they had that disease, but they had a desire to live. But also we see this. They had a described belief in what Jesus could do. Look at what they say when they encounter Jesus. They say, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And what they were saying is, they were saying, "Jesus, we know that you can heal. We believe that you have the power. We believe that you are from heaven. We believe that you are from God. We believe that you can meet our physical needs. And would you please do that?" See, they described a belief in what Jesus could do. And here are these men who knew 100% that Jesus could heal them. They had made these special arrangements to go and meet him. Physical and social outcasts. In the midst of all the anguish and sorrow and suffering, they went to find Jesus. And they went to have an encounter with him, to seek him out and to find healing. The other thing that we see, I think is interesting, is they had a diligent obedience to Christ. Notice what Jesus says to them. Jesus says to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And the Bible says in verse 14 that while they were going, they were healed. And this is important here for us to understand, because what Jesus told them to do made very little sense to them. If you're like me, whenever I'm thinking that God is telling me to do something, I'm kind of trying to put the pieces of the puzzle together. I'm like, "Oh, God wants me. Oh, this is probably why, because God's going to do this with that. Oh, I can see how God will do that." But like, if we think maybe God's telling us to do something and it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, we're very reluctant to do that. And this is kind of one of those situations where these guys come to Jesus and Jesus says, "Okay, go show yourself to the priest." Because what the routine was and what they were supposed to do is you were supposed to go to the priest after you were healed. You didn't go to the priest and say, "What do you think, priest?" No. You went to the priest after you were healed. And you didn't go to the priest before then. You went to the priest afterwards. And so Jesus did not say, "Okay, you're healed. Now go to the priest and get declared. Get your clean bill of health. Get declared as clean and undiseased." No. Jesus just says, "Go to the priest all sickly and all diseased. And you just go to the priest if you want to be healed." And because they were diligent to obey that, God healed them. They see that they experienced physical healing in their lives. It's interesting to me that we as Christians, I think a lot of times we want things out of God. We say, "Okay, Lord, would you give me this, Lord? Would you give me that? Don't let that happen to me, Lord. Now be sure that this happens, but this doesn't happen." But yet, like, whenever God is telling us to do stuff, a lot of times we're like, "Well, I'll do that unless I have to miss this. Or I'll do that as long as I don't have to sacrifice that." A lot of times we're like, "Hey, Lord, would you do this for me? But would you get to it? Because I'm kind of busy," right? That's the attitude a lot of us have. But these men, they, you know, it wasn't like Jesus said, well, go show yourself to the priest. And they didn't say, what are you talking about? That's the craziest thing I've ever heard. They didn't say, well, Jesus, that doesn't make sense. They didn't say, Jesus, well, we have something else going on today, you know. We've committed to be involved in this or that, and, you know, that just happens to be going on today. So, Lord, we'll get to it later. That's not what they did, was it? They went. When Jesus said go, they went. It was interesting. I heard a story about a guy that was driving around a parking lot, and he was looking for a place to park. He was running late. His wife was expecting him home, and you know how it is. You go to Walmart over here in Olive Branch. You know what I'm talking about. You circle that parking lot, and you circle that parking lot, and you circle that parking lot. He circled it 2 or 3 times, and he began to get convicted. As he was in a hurry and things were pressing in against him, he'd been dealing with some conviction for a while, and he said, kind of whispered a prayer, he said, Lord, would you just give me one parking place? Lord, help me find a parking place. I've got to get this done, and I got to go. Lord, I'll tell you what, Lord, if you give me this parking place, help me find a place to park, I'm going to make the things of God a priority in my life. I'm going to be at church all the time. I'm going to do whatever it is you tell me to do, Lord, I promise. And right as he whispered that prayer, right as he said that, the car pulled out in the parking place as far close to the door as you could get without being in the disabled parking, right? And it was right there. And as soon as that car pulled out, he said, oh, never mind, Lord, I just found one. Right? But isn't that how we are sometimes? That's how we are sometimes. But these men, they had a deadly disease. And obviously they had a desire to live. But they believed in what Jesus could do. And they were diligent to obey him. They were diligent to obey him. And because they obeyed him, they experienced the physical healing of Jesus. The Bible says they were healed. And friends, let me just tell you something. I'm not going to tell you that if you just do everything you think God wants you to do, that everything's going to be okay. And I'm not going to tell you that if you do everything that God wants you to do all the time, that everything is going to work out the way that you want it to. But I will tell you this, and I think the Bible is clear on this. If you and I are committed and we are diligent to obey God and what he has called us to do and who he has called us to be, and we're diligent in putting the things of God at the highest priority in our lives, then you and I will experience God move. It's not always going to happen exactly the way we want it to or the way we think it should, but we will experience God move. It's an amazing thing. So these men, deadly disease, they knew that Jesus could heal them. They were obedient to him. They experienced physical healing, but only one. Only one out of all 10 of those men, only one was determined to worship Christ with a thankful heart. Verses 15 and 16 says this, but one of them, seeing that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice he gave glory to God. He fell face down, thanking him. Only one came back with a determination to worship Christ with a thankful heart. I wonder why that is. I've had a lot of things that were, I've heard a lot of people preach this passage and have a lot of different takes on this, but as I study this, one of the things that a couple things I noticed. Number one is I noticed that although the men were healed of their disease, there was no proclamation made of Jesus at that point. He just said, go show yourself to the priest. And it was then that Jesus met their physical needs. And it was interesting that this man, as you look at his interaction between himself and Jesus, after he begins worshiping Jesus and Jesus questions, where are the others? He says to the man, get up and go, and he says, your faith has healed you. Now, the word there for healed is the same word that we see in the New Testament for saved. In fact, some of your translations, depending on what translation you have, it may literally say, your faith has saved you. And I think that proclamation that Jesus made to this man wasn't just about physical healing. Oh, yeah, all 10 of them were healed physically. But here's a guy whose faith saved him. It's It's an amazing thing. I think that it's very possible that when these 10 men came upon Jesus on that road, all 10 of them had a physical need. We all know people with physical needs, right? I mean, all 10 of them had something that they need somebody to fix. And there's not anybody in this world that doesn't need somebody to fix something for them, okay? And so all of them had these physical needs. But I think maybe this one, instead of just wanting the physical needs, maybe this one actually gave his heart to Christ in that moment. Maybe it was this one that said, well, you know, Lord, I want you to heal me physically, but I'm giving my heart to you and I'm trusting you. And it's not about physical needs. It's not about getting what I want, but it's about trusting you with everything that I am and everything that I'm going to be. I think that this one man is one man who actually gave his heart to Christ, because we see that he was declared to be saved through faith. Verse 19, if you don't have that blank yet, but declared to be saved through faith. He says, your faith has made you well, or your faith has saved you. This is consistent with the rest of the Bible, folks. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says this, for it is by the grace of God that you are saved. Now, he's talking, by the way, to believers. So he's talking to people that are already saved, okay? But in Ephesians chapter 2, he says, it's by God's grace that you can be saved, but you're saved through your faith. And he goes on to explain, that's not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. It's not by works, it's not by doing good stuff, it's not by your church membership, it's not by being a Baptist or a Methodist or a Catholic or anything else. It's not by attendance, it's not by any of those things. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And what that verse is saying is that no one's going to be in heaven saying, hey, I'm here because I deserve to be here. But all of us, if you and I find ourselves in heaven, it will be as a result of the fact that we put our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ. And the only thing that we could say when we get there is, boy, I'm sure glad that Jesus made a way for me. You know, it's not gonna be people saying, hey, this is how it's supposed to be, because none of us deserve to be there. We see a guy that was declared to be saved through faith. Jesus didn't declare the other people to be saved, just this one man. It's interesting. 10 of them experienced physical healing, but one of them experienced spiritual healing. And this man, he was healed of the spiritual disease. I said, we all have a spiritual disease. Oh yeah, his physical needs were met, but his spiritual needs were met too. And I believe that's why he was compelled to come back and worship Jesus. Because it wasn't just a gimme, gimme, gimme kind of mentality. You know, a lot of people, I think there are a lot of people that come in and out of churches every year. And they're going because maybe they want to get something out of it. And I want to tell you something. If you go to church a lot, if you're invested in a church, if the people, the church that you're going to love the Lord, you're probably going to benefit from it some way, shape, or form. You're going to learn some principles about character. And you're going to learn, maybe if you go through something like Financial Peace, right, FPU, you're going to learn about stewardship. And you will see blessing from that. You will see just by nature, you're going to benefit from that probably in some way, shape, or form. But with this guy, it wasn't just about the physical needs. No, it was about the spiritual needs as well. I think you and I, we all have a choice to make. So we talked about the attitude of gratitude. I didn't mention that at first. That's kind of what we titled this, or I titled it. But I want to tell you, the attitude of gratitude is a choice. The attitude of gratitude is a choice. Here's a guy that could have just went on his way, but he came back. I believe he was compelled to come back because he gave his heart to Christ. And maybe that's why he was so eager to choose to worship God in this way and say thank you. But I want you to know that is a choice. Every day you and I get up and we have a choice that we're going to make about how we're going to react to the world. And we may find ourselves in a life crisis situation like these 10 men did, and like this one that chose Christ. We may find ourselves in a life crisis situation, but you and I have to choose how we're going to react to that. See, there are a lot of people that when they find themselves in a situation like these 10 men did, or like this one did, they probably would have been like, oh, Jesus is coming to town? Well, you get Jesus over here and let me just, Jesus, why is this happening to me? Jesus, why did I have this disease? Jesus, why did I have to go through this? I want to talk to Jesus. That would be a lot of people's attitude, right? But that's not the attitude that these guys had, and this certainly was not the attitude of this one. They were willing to, or he was willing to come back and praise God. He was so compelled and so overwhelmed with his love for Christ and so overwhelmed for what God had did in his life that he couldn't help but come back and worship him. It was just an amazing thing. Over the past several years, I know probably people have lost jobs and maybe lost loved ones, and maybe this holiday season you're having to get used to what I call the new normal when you go through a situation like that. And it's really easy, folks, to get bogged down in how things used to be or how we want things to be or how we want things to change. And it's real easy to do that. But I want to tell you, and I want to encourage you, instead of concentrating on those things, try to think through and think about the things that God has given you. Think about those things that we have to be thankful for. Think about the people in your life that God has blessed you with. Think about the experiences that God has given you and the way those have built you up and the way those have been a blessing to you. Think about all those things. And instead of being angry that things may not be exactly the way that we want them to be thankful for what God has already done. Yeah, God healed that guy and he had a new lease on life, but he didn't make him a millionaire, right? You know, the guy probably still had issues. He probably still had things to deal with. He would have had to go back to his family and had to, resume his life. And who knows what he walked back into when he went back to his home. Everything wasn't perfect in his life, but he was healed. And he certainly was thankful for that. You and I have a lot of things to be thankful for. If you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you certainly have something to be thankful for, even if things aren't perfect. You have been healed spiritually of this disease of sin. There is only one cure for that disease, and it's not more cowbell. Okay? That's for our state fans in the house. It's not more cowbell. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. And you and I can learn something from this guy. Here's a guy who had faith in Christ. He had an attitude of gratitude. And, that's the kind of person that I want to be. And I pray that this Thanksgiving week, that you, number one, would know Jesus Christ and you would have faith in him. And then number two, that you would wholeheartedly give thanks to him for all that he has done and all that he's doing. Here in a moment, we're going to pray, and I'm going to ask our pastor to come up, and we're going to be down here. And if you've got something that you need to deal with or someone you need to talk to, their altar is going to be open, and we'll have just a time of invitation. Maybe there's someone in the house, you don't really know what it means to have faith in Christ. Maybe you thought it was all about church membership, and you're blown away right now. You can come and talk to one of us. We've got counselors waiting that would love to walk you through and just look at what God's Word says about how you can come to faith in Christ. Maybe someone in the house that needs to make that commitment of baptism, or someone that wants to make FBC will be their church home. Whatever it is, you can do that this morning. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. And Father, we thank you for this account of these men who were healed. And I thank you for the heart of the one. Father, the heart of the one who didn't just want the physical healing, but Father, he wanted to experience the spiritual healing. I pray that that would be the heart of our people this morning. Father, I pray that we would depend on you for all things. But more than anything, I pray, Father, that we would give our heart to you. We praise you. Have your way with us this morning. In Jesus' name,